Hi, so I'm going to be talking about this sort of the idea of tobacco use and how the idea that it is used for stress management in the military. And my co-author and I have no relationships to disclose related to this presentation. So I just wanted to start by just talking for a minute about the situation in the military. So in 2009, an IOM report was released that recommended that the military adopt a sort of 20-year plan to become tobacco-free. This was immediately rejected by the Department of Defense at the very highest levels, saying that it would deprive deployed soldiers of needed stress relief. So I'll be talking about tobacco as this kind of institutional issue, that is, why it's accepted despite the obvious harms that it does to the military mission, and how this idea about stress relief might affect efforts to go toward a tobacco-free military. So as Bob mentioned, tobacco use rates in the military are very high. There's a lot of poly-tobacco use, and many people start using tobacco after they join the service, making service itself a risk factor for tobacco use. Now, we tend to think of tobacco use as being a long-term issue, the harms being a long-term issue, but there are immediate effects. Of course, it impairs fitness, which is extremely important for people in the military. It causes respiratory problems, and it's also related to absenteeism and injury. In addition, it can impair night vision, which can be very important for military personnel. And it has effects on wound healing and, of course, other disabilities, as well as causing shortened lifespan. Other concerns for military personnel include the fact that lit cigarettes at night can give away a position, and even spit tobacco residue can leave a visible heat signature on the ground, someone with heat-detecting goggles. So it's actually a security issue for deployed troops. And again, as Bob mentioned, creates enormous costs for the Department of Defense and long-term for the Veterans Administration. Now, there have been efforts to raise prices in military commissaries, to establish smoke-free ships, but these have been repeatedly thwarted by tobacco industry allies in Congress. And of course, as I said, they're not entirely accepted by the military either. So the methods for this study were a secondary analysis of focus groups and interviews done with active duty military personnel. There were 20 focus groups with enlisted smokers, non-smokers, and ex-smokers and their supervisors, and then a series of interviews with policy leaders and tobacco control managers on bases all across the country, and I believe some overseas as well. So in these focus groups and interviews, the issue of stress relief, stress management, came up in three ways. As a general need, as a way to facilitate social relationships, which can be very important for military personnel, and as a way to control workflow. So, for instance, one employed person remarked that the military, had a choice that either you're going to reduce the stress or if you are going to increase the stress, there's going to be more smokers. So it was regarded as simply a simple cause and effect. A tobacco control manager remarked that unless service members had better stress management programs or stress management life skills, they're going to use tobacco as a crutch. Another remarked that smokers actually were attempting to use what could be healthy stress management tools. That is, this person said, smokers take breaks, they socialize, and they take deep breaths when they're inhaling the smoke. So those are three very good stress management tools. This person recognized, of course, that smoking was not the way to deploy them, but they also remarked that there was a great deal of resistance to change, one saying that most commanders believe that any impact of tobacco use is pretty minimal, and that the impact of, say, banning smoking at one of the deployed locations would be even worse. You know, you'd have a bunch of nicotine-addicted people. Who knows what would happen? So the second way tobacco was mentioned as being a form of stress relief involved fitting in with superiors. So one remarked that enlisted personnel see smoke breaks as an opportunity to get to rub elbows with somebody senior, their immediate boss. Another commented that training instructors are looked up to as the ultimate service members. And when many of them smoke themselves, I think it just sets the message like, hey, I want to be like him. However, there's also some countervailing movement. One leader remarked that senior leaders who smoke hide it. They'll find a nook or cranny, or they'll go somewhere the younger people can't see it. So tobacco use is starting to be seen as less conducive to a military career. There's also the question of fitting in with peer groups, which is of a lot of importance to people in the military who, of course, may be depending on their immediate peer group for their safety and survival. So as one supervisor remarked, when you've got a bunch of young 18-year-olds coming in who've never left mama's side, and you shove them into this group of people, yelling at them all the time, then they're going to look for the group strength. And if the group is smoking, that's why they're taking it up. Another enlisted person remarked that if you want to be one of us, you have to dip in your back pocket. So clearly a way of sharing and bonding. So finally, tobacco use as stress management was mentioned in the context of breaks. As one enlisted person put it, you can't get a break to go out and use the phone, but if you tell us, I'm going out to have a cigarette, they'll be like, oh, all right. Another supervisor remarked that most soldiers who don't smoke will not take their 15-minute break. Smokers will go out and have a smoke break, so they're getting rewarded for being a smoker. So the person who remarked that smoke breaks could actually be the occasion for attempting to use healthy stress relief tools, obviously they're unable to use those tools except in the context of smoking. Another informant talked about how clean indoor air rules had actually had an unintended effect of institutionalizing smoking. As he remarked, we even got signs to tell you, you can smoke, you just got to be 50 feet away to do it. And others commented that gazebos and picnic areas had been either built for or devoted to becoming smoking areas, sometimes thus depriving non-smokers of what had been a facility for everybody. So what we have here are contradictions between the operational and the ideological. That is, the operational being what is actually happening on the ground, and the ideological being of what the ideal of the institution is, and all institutions have these. In this case, we have two primary contradictions. So service members use tobacco, that's the operational, and service members must be physically fit, the ideological. The second contradiction is that service members experience high levels of stress, and service members must be mentally fit. So mediatory myths serve to justify the operational when they conflict with the ideological. So in this case, the myth is that tobacco is a form of stress relief. If tobacco is stress relief, then that means despite its harms, tobacco use is necessary. And it also means that stress relief can be managed by the by individuals, and that the institution does not have to take as much account of it. So it justifies the use of tobacco and appears to mitigate the stress that service members are experiencing. In this way, tobacco use actually appears to meet genuine needs. So that's an important issue for public health people to be able to address if we want to make any change in the military. Now, the evidence suggests that smoking does not actually help with stress, except for the stress of addiction. Tobacco users in the military actually report higher levels of stress, and non-smokers use other forms of stress relief. So what is the advantage of continuing tobacco use? Well, for one thing, it appears to be cheap because it's adopted voluntarily and paid for by service members themselves, including distribution beyond the wholesale level. It also appears to be cheap because there is no line item for tobacco costs. But as Bob was mentioning, we know that health care and absenteeism alone are estimated to cost the Department of Defense $1.6 billion per year. Now, any creation of a replacement or substitution for tobacco for this purpose would have a line item, and so it would appear to have a cost in a way that tobacco use does not. Finally, because tobacco is accepted as, but not officially adopted as, a stress reducer, there are no expectations for its use, for its effectiveness. So if you proposed an alternative stress management tool, such as yoga, meditation, medication, whatever you might decide, that is not going to work all the time because nothing works all of the time. And so anybody attempting to make that replacement is going to risk appearing to fail. And that can be a huge stumbling block. Now, there have been efforts to create stress management programs designed specifically for military personnel. And this I find it very interesting, called One Shot, One Kill, which many public health people tend to sort of blanch at that. but it's framed for military personnel. It is by the warfighter, for the warfighter. And it's framed as reaching your full potential, becoming more effective. That is, not as you're sick, you need help, but as you're a performer, you want to be the best that you can. Now, the content of this program is actually relaxation tools, sleep enhancement, good nutrition, meditation, cognitive behavioral techniques, many things that would seem to be perfectly acceptable to mainstream public health people. It's only in the framing, which is important, that it differs. Now, these programs are currently voluntary. They're not integrated into military training. So in conclusion, I would suggest that these kind of programs should be built into military training, and that public health people should be on their guard about this, the idea that tobacco use is necessary for stress management, which many people tend to buy into. But I think that the response to the accusation that going for a tobacco-free military would deprive military personnel of their stress management tools, the answer to that should simply be, yes, they're undergoing a lot of stress. Don't they deserve something better than tobacco? Thank you.